Thank you for tuning in today. My name's Frankie Mazzapica. The title of today's message is Peeking into the Future. Peeking into the Future. Let me just lay the scriptural foundation straight away because we're talking about the future today. And I've got three major points that we're going to tackle. Number one, are future events that we already know are going to happen. Everybody in this room, you already know it's going to happen. It's not a matter of opinion. We just know it, and I'll get to that in a minute. And then we're going to talk about what will our response be to these events that we already know is going to happen. And then number three, I'm going to share my one word, a New Year's resolution that is one word that I have for all of you. And if you want to come up with your own resolution, I would challenge you, don't do a sentence or a paragraph. Just come up with one word. And you may end up adopting the word that I'm praying into your life, but I'll get to that in my third point. Let me lay the scriptural foundation, and again, we're talking about looking into the future, just taking a peek. First of all, I want to share three verses. Matthew 24, verse 7. It says this, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And this will be the beginning of sorrows." When we begin to see this, it's the beginning of sorrows. Let me go to three verses later. It's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. It says this, "Many will be offended." See, there once was a day where, man, you get offended easy. This person, man, they get offended easy. No. We're in a different age now. Now we're talking about many, not a few. We're talking about a whole swath through the country will be offended. They will betray one another. Friends, you can't betray an enemy, right? They will betray one another and they will hate one another. This is not people you already detest. These are people that will all of a sudden, people will begin to detest them. And then the last and final one is in verse 12. And it says that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. They once had a burning heart, now they don't. They used to have a burning heart for God. They can remember those times, and now they don't. These are things that we already know are going to happen. Even if you didn't know that scripture, you already knew that it was going to happen. So let's talk about events that we already know. It is 2024, election season. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet because the closer we get to November, there's going to be grenades everywhere. People in their basement on social media. You know, social platforms online have given everybody a platform. Everybody gets a platform. People that shouldn't have a platform now have a platform. Thumbs down, message, you know, mad emojis, you're a dummy, insults like crazy. If they saw each other face to face, they wouldn't be saying any of that. But now there are a few. They're always looking for a fight. But we know election season is going to be fierce. I'm going to tell you, my friends are pastors. I've got a lot of friends who are pastors. We all lost people during election season. Every single one of us. They were offended by the pastor because he didn't say this and didn't say that. Offended by their friends who also go to the same church. We already know, right? We already know. You cheated. He cheated. He shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. And how do we know that? Because we've lived through a few elections, and the last few have been a doozy. They've been a doozy. And here's the thing. Whoever gets elected, half of the country wanted that person. The other half did not. We're talking 51% to 49%. That's the margin. So half of the country is disappointed. The other half is shouting. And then there's this residue for about 3 months after the election where everybody's person who didn't get elected is still mad. And there's a reason why we don't tell each other who we're voting for, right? Because we don't know who we're talking to. Are you with me or are you against me? And now we got groups. Groups, us against them, them against us. And it's very, very awkward. These social things, last year, oh my goodness, especially during election season last time, things not even having to do with the election of the president. Just social trouble. I don't need to give any examples. You already know. And it caused massive division. Not just in the church, everywhere. Division at companies like crazy. Everybody offended. Everybody mad. Like never before. You know, the Bible says nothing about how as we live, as the world goes on, things will get easier and easier. No, it's the exact opposite. This election season is going to make the last election season look like a walk in the park. I'm telling you, just nod your head at me. You already know I'm right, right? It's going to be insane. Here's another thing that we already know. The people that you see in this room will not be here by the end of this year. And they won't be in another church either. They'll either be gone, not connected to church at all, or they'll be watching saying, oh, God can meet me here in my living room. It doesn't matter. I don't need to go to the house of God. Just nod at me if you already know that's going to happen. Just nod. Oh, some of you don't want to nod because you might be that person.
The other day, a friend of mine came up to me and he said, Frankie, I want to pray longer, but I don't know what to talk about. I know I need to pray more. But as soon as I start praying, within a few minutes, I end up stopping or I start thinking about other things. And he asked me, he says, how do you pray longer? And I told him, I said, I remember being in your exact same situation. And then something clicked. I wrote a new book called Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray. I shared with my friend, once you know what's happening when you're praying, you will find that you will pray with more energy. You'll be able to pray longer. Your faith will rise while you're praying. One of the things that I talk about is in Psalms 56:9, it says, the very day you call for help, the tide of your battle begins to shift. When you're in a rough patch, when you're in trouble, I want you to know that when you pray, the very first sentence that you pray, angels come to your side. There's an angel of the Lord that surrounds you and delivers you. These are the things that I talk about in my new book, and you can get this new book anywhere books are sold.
you know, I'm 45 years old, and there's things that I have trouble with that I didn't have trouble with when I was younger. For example, there's a new Dunkin' Donuts by my house. I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I order a coffee. My son, I'll take 12 donut holes. Now, I want 12 donut holes too. But I know that what I eat, you guys are going to know what I eat. Everybody knows what I ate, because whatever you eat, you wear. Right? It's no secret. This guy hasn't been eating broccoli, I can tell you that. I went to go play golf yesterday. My son and I playing golf. This morning, I'm walking around with a bad knee. When did this happen? I don't remember hurting it. I was just walking along, and I played golf with a cart. I get out, swing, back in the cart. Get out, swing, back in the cart. While I'm looking at you right now, my knee is hurting. I've got too much pride to go like this. But it hurts. But I got a feeling, I'm 45 right now, I have a feeling that when I'm 55, it's going to get a lot easier. Are you with me? Can you see my point? It's only going to get harder. Everything is going to get harder. See my knee get about? Everything's going to get harder. Socially, it's going to get harder. It's going to be harder to be passionate about God. Everything's going to get harder. So you might as well just know that in your head right now. The economy, this is a sensitive subject, so I'll just get right to it. It's not going to get easy. Nobody's going to be walking around going, let's make it rain. So how are we going to respond? How are you going to respond? How am I going to respond? There's two ways that we can respond. Either with apathy or being aggressive. Apathy looks like this. Like, your whole relationship with God looks like this. You're just not moved. You're not moved. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter whatever, anything happens. Your relationship with God is like this. It's like this now, it'll be like this then. It's just, you're apathetic to the things of God, which is very scary. Because now what you're saying is, God, I know you're there, but I got this. I got this. It's apathy. And apathy is like flooding the earth. I mean, like crazy. You know what the Bible says? It says half of us, half of the people in this room, half. You're here now, and you'll always be here. Half. And if you're not here, you're gonna be here. Half. Not just this church. Half of everybody in the church. Not people who don't go to church. In the church. Now, how do we know that? How do we know it's half? I mean, that's a big statement. I would not have the nerve to say half, if I were just coming up with half. The Bible says half. It says this, that two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Even so, when the return of the Lord comes, because Jesus is coming back in a twinkling of an eye, half will be clapping. The other half of the church. Here's another one. Matthew 25, verse 11. There were 10 waiting for the Lord. 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. Half became apathetic. Half. The other half, they were not apathetic. See, nobody's getting comfortable in this stool. Nobody. The only time you sit in a stool like this is if you plan on getting up soon. Nobody watches TV in a stool like this. If you're eating, you're going to eat, you're not going to just hang out. No back, can't lean back, can't swivel, nothing. This person is on edge. You're on edge. I want to say, if you're not on edge, you're apathetic. There's no third chair here. And if you're not sure, to be aggressive and to be in pursuit is a decision that you have to make every day. Every day. Why am I saying that? Absolutely. Put your hands together. The reason why I say every day is because your adversary doesn't take a day off. Here's the thing about your adversary. He doesn't care if you come to church, really. He really doesn't care. Just as long as you're apathetic while you're here. He doesn't care. You can sit here. You can sit in this chair at home. You can sit in this chair at the church. He doesn't care. Just be in the chair. You can't not pursue him or think about him or talk about him every day. You have to talk to him every day. Why is that? He doesn't take a day off. In listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says that the enemy prowls around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And he's devouring people every single day. What's the first thing that he devours? I mean, we've all watched National Geographic. He goes for the throat and he goes for the heart. I don't know how those lions know that the heart is right there. They instinctively know. They know. He goes for your heart. He doesn't go for your marriage. He doesn't go for your money. He doesn't go for your body. No, he goes for your heart. He wants to kill your passion to put you right here. And how do you stay here? This is the wonderful thing about what I do. I don't have to tell you how to stay here because you already know. You already know. Your spirit knows that you can't be living like everybody else, copying the behaviors and the customs of this world. You already know. There's something in you. There's something in you that says, I can't do what you do. And I'll tell you this, if you try to play back and forth, you're over here. I mean, don't lie to yourself. It's kind of like those circus people who ride on both horses at the circus and like, hi, yeah, yeah. And they're riding on both horses and it's like, it's funny. That's not how it goes spiritually. You can't, this is not how it goes. The way it goes is two horses, one's going that way, one's going this way, pick one. And if you think you're riding both, you're riding one. This is an urgency. Things are not optional. I'll be holy. I'll talk nicely sometimes. I'll talk nicely to you. I'll be kind to you. Sometimes I'll be kind. Sometimes I'll be kind. No. Ephesians 4:29, do not even speak unless it gives grace to the hearer. What if I were to come into your house and ask around? Why do I say your house? Because my wife knows me better than all of you. This is my public self. This is my best self. My wife knows my real self. So I can't come here with encouraging words here and then come home and tear my family up. It's not optional. You're here and you're gonna be here and you're not moving. This is you.
I genuinely believe that the subject matter of my new book is the most important subject I could have ever chosen to write about. The title of the book is Ignite Your Life, 14 Things That Happen When You Pray. A.W. Tozer once said, "Everyone is as close to God as they want to be." I'd love to send you a copy of our book today. You can buy it wherever books are sold.
Here's my word for the year that I'm praying for you is steadfast. My prayer for you is that you're steadfast. A rock in a hurricane, that rock is going to be there after the hurricane. Everything else is going to get blown away. That rock is staying there. I just want to tell you, I can't predict what's coming up. There's a few things that we know are coming up. But there are unforeseen events that we cannot anticipate. And if we are not steadfast, we're going to live in this seat. And if you know in your heart that the things of God bore you, they bore you. I want that to be the scariest thing in your life. Because Revelation 3, verse 16, it says, you are either hot or you're cold. You, because you're lukewarm, trying to be in the middle, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You don't get to be apathetic and survive 2024. By the time 2024 gets here, at the end, you're going to be a worse you than you are right now. I can promise you that. You're going to be colder. You're going to be more, you're going to have a lack of faith, less faith than you have now. You're going to be more offensive. You're going to be angry. You're going to be cutting. You're going to be cold. You're going to be a worse you than you are right now. But if you say, dear Lord, I'm pursuing you every day of my life, That's my prayer for you. That's my passion for you. And if, here's the thing I want to share with you. As a public speaker, when I come up here on a Sunday, the room is different every single Sunday. The next service, the second service, it's going to be different than this service. I don't know what's going to be different, but the crowd is going to be different. And what do I mean by that? Attendance? No. That's not what I'm talking about. There's kind of a mood of the room, right? Speakers say, man, that was a tough crowd. Oh, that was a fun crowd. And as a speaker, I got to come up here and in within 30 seconds, if not less, it's like a combination lock, a master combination lock. Well, I better figure it out. Because if I don't connect within 30 seconds, you guys are out. In the same way, if you don't figure out what is wrong here, you will end up here. And how do you figure out what's wrong here? You say to the Lord, what am I missing? Why are they on fire, but I'm not? Why are they passionate, but I'm not? Well, I know I'm over here, but there's people around me that's over here. What am I missing? Please set me on fire. And I'm going to ask you to set me on fire until I'm set on fire. Set me on fire. Do you receive that? Come on. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I got a friend of mine back there, Joe McCune. He's a two-time Ironman. Let me just embarrass you. Stand up and wave at everybody. I love this guy. Love this guy. Love him. He was at, I think you were at the first service that this church ever had, weren't you? 18 years ago. And I tell you, the reason why I love him is because he, if there's one thing that he will do for the rest of his life, is worship God. That's why he's one of my closest friends. He doesn't live close to the church. It's a trek. And I remember early on, he said something to me, and I never forgot about it. He says, checkers is a game. This is not a game. It's not a game. Would you stand up on your feet for me, please? The reason why I prayed so hard this morning is it doesn't matter how well I speak. It does not matter. I cannot talk you into changing one thing about your life. I can't. I can't do it. Unless the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you will walk out of this room the same way you walked in.